Support for the show comes from Mercury. Startups, you don't need to settle for cumbersome banking experiences to protect your money. Mercury offers banking and credit cards with an effortless experience, giving ambitious companies greater precision, control, and focus without compromising security. Open smarter checking and saving accounts, control spend, optimize cash flow, and close the books in record time. Visit Mercury.com to join more than 100,000 startups that trust Mercury with their finances and to help them perform at their highest level.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to the Prop G Pod's Office Hours. This is the part of the show where we answer your questions about business, big tech, entrepreneurship, and whatever else is on your mind. If you'd like to submit a question, please visit officehours.propgmedia.com. Again, that's officehours.propgmedia.com. First question, and a reminder, I have not seen or heard these questions.
Hey, Scott. Kurt here from the Last Frontier up north in Alaska. My question is a broader one. Do you believe that we don't focus enough on companies like NVIDIA who are building foundational tools, capabilities, hardware, services around the Omniverse, really as the tool building guide for creating metaverses and linking them potentially? I really think they're a next gen company that's still considered a graphics card manufacturer that needs a lot more focus. So my question is, where do you feel NVIDIA goes in the next 5 to 10 years? And if you don't like to project out that far, quite familiar with that from attending classes, then how about the next year? All right. Thanks from Alaska.
Kurt from Northern Alaska. I wish this was live because I want to ask you, how the hell did you end up in Northern Alaska? Are you a frontiers person? Or are you, I don't know, you work on an oil pipeline? It's got to be pretty freaking crazy up there. I think Northern Alaska basically means the North Pole. So I'm just kind of curious what's going on up there and what's it like. I'm fascinated by Alaska. It's one of the few places I haven't been that I want to go. There's a lot of places I haven't been. I'm not going to piss off people by listing all the countries I have no desire to go to, but Alaska probably more than any place, at least in the Union, I want to go to the most and I haven't been. Anyways, enough about my travel aspirations. So last quarter, NVIDIA posted around $7 or $8 billion in revenue, and that was up, I think, over 50% year on year. The firm does almost $30 billion in revenue and something like increased 60% year on year. And the thing that drove that was its gaming business and accounting for a record $12.5 billion, also up around 50 or 60%. And NVIDIA has just this stranglehold. I think they produce 4 and 5 chips or 4 and 5 of the processing units for discrete graphics chips. And when you think about the growth and how important and how large the gaming industry is. So you have the monopoly that provides the brain for an incredibly big and growing. I mean, there's few things other than search that are as big and growing as fast as the gaming industry. And they're kind of the, I don't know, the Intel of that business. They have a market cap of around $500 billion. I think it's off though. I think they're at about $200, $225 a share, down from around $350. And I think it shed about a third of its value, which in this market, a lot of the stocks I hold, my biggest holding is Airbnb, which is off about, what is it off? It's off about a third from its high. And I feel fortunate because a lot of the stuff I track and that I like is off 60, 70, 80%. The reason I like this company, and I can't speak to the multiples or the valuation, and I'm not comfortable making a projection for the next 12 months. I do like this as a long-term hold because it has come off its high. It has to, it appears to have dominant market share, and it's in a category that it just appears like heads they win, tails they win. And that is these chips, whether it's video games or the metaverse, are going to continue to play a very important role. And this company seems to be shooting the lights out in terms of execution, and it's a complicated, difficult sector with huge IP, hugely expensive, I would imagine, manufacturing facilities that require a lag time. You just can't pop up, I would imagine, a facility making this. I bet these things are harder to manufacture than cars. Anyway, so big barriers of entry, their elbows are out. I like this thing a lot. I don't know the multiple on revenues. I'd have to look at it more in terms of valuation. But if you're looking for a stock to put away for 5 or 10 years, this feels like that kind of stock. Personally, my analogy for my personal investing would be crypto. And that is, I'm fascinated by the crypto space. I don't understand it. So I'm somewhat, if you will, cautiously skeptical on crypto. I think Bitcoin will be enduring because they've managed to create scarcity credibility versus the US dollar, which is really the genius, the kind of finite nature or friction of mining coins. Ethereum seems to be have real technology. It's the underlying platform for a lot of NFTs. But the rest to me just seems like a lot of hype that could literally go to zero. However, I want some exposure to the space. And so I'm investing in the picks and the shovels or the infrastructure, just as I would describe NVIDIA as the picks and the shovels in the infrastructure. I invested in a company called Ledger that makes the Nano X, which is a hardware wallet. And that's my way of getting exposure to the space. If you wanted exposure to the metaverse, I'd like some exposure to the metaverse, but I don't buy it. I think the metaverse is kind of already here in different formats, whether it's Twitter or the App Store or Fortnite, but I still would like exposure to the space. So I would invest in the plumbing or the picks and shovels or NVIDIA. So long-winded way of brother of saying over the short term, I don't know because the company does look expensive, but it warrants that type of valuation because it's an incredible company with a monopoly-like share in an industry that's growing and incredible execution. So this feels to me like almost a little bit like Cisco in the 90s, where everyone invested because it was the underlying technology. But also keep in mind, during the recession of 2001 or the unwinding of the dot-com bubble, Cisco also got taken to the shed. So there's no real safe haven here, but I do like NVIDIA. I think it's an interesting long-term hold, and there's just no getting around it. This is a quality company that probably doesn't get the attention it deserves, as evidenced by the fact that it now has a larger market cap, I believe, than Facebook. A really interesting question, Kurt, from Northern Alaska. I hope you are well, and I hope you are living your best life, because Northern Alaska, by the way, I used to love the series Northern Exposure. God, I thought that was such a lovely TV program. I love the love story between the two major characters. I thought the characters in general were really interesting. I wonder what's happened to all of them. Anyways, thanks for the call. Thanks for the question. Kurt from Northern Alaska. Next question.
Hey, Prof G. My name is Jim. I'm 25. I live in Chicago, and I work for one of your favorite social media platforms, Twitter. My question is, why wouldn't one of these subscription streaming platforms such as Netflix, Amazon, Apple, or Spotify, or even a social media company such as Facebook, Twitter, or Snapchat, give a Rogan-esque deal to a top YouTube influencer? It seems like a no-brainer to give an exclusive rights contract and transfer however many billion viewers Mr. Beast attracts to YouTube to theirs. This would also be a pretty interesting approach to take down the streaming mammoth that is YouTube. Love the show. Dog in training.
Jim from Chicago, Twitter. Good to be you. Jim, 25, Chicago, Twitter. Check, 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 check. It's good to be you. You're living a good life, and I hope you are more self-aware than I was at 25 and realize how fortunate you are and take time every day to just say to yourself, I am incredibly blessed. I am incredibly blessed. Anyways, it's an interesting idea. We might see more and more of this as streaming services try to land new subscribers and attract more of our attention, and that is going vertical, and that is capturing your own, having your own proprietary content. The seminal moment for Netflix was when they went from DVD by mail to streaming. But the second big moment was when they dropped the first season of House of Cards. You couldn't watch it anywhere else. I think that HBO going into original content was kind of the key gangster move for them. Roku just picked up for pennies on the dollar all of the content from Quibi. They're trying to go vertical. So if the question is, do I think different platforms are going to figure out ways to establish proprietary content? 100%. I used to be a whore all over everywhere. I was on Fox. I was on MSNBC. It's funny. I was self-conscious saying I was on Fox. As a progressive, I used to go on Fox all the time. One, I go on with anchors, not networks. So I really like Stuart Varney, and I'm a huge fan of Neil Cavuto. I think he's fantastic. And I also think it's important to engage with people who don't share your political beliefs. Maybe you convince some of them or at least modulate some of them. So I used to go on Fox a lot. I stopped going about 9 months ago because I really got very upset about some of the anti-vax rhetoric. And also, I felt like they made some coordinated attacks against progressive women that felt just bottom line mean. But went on MSNBC a lot, used to go on CNBC a lot, and then CNN has locked me up. Now, granted, they paid me money. It sucks to be a grown-up. But they have decided there's certain talent they want proprietary to their network. Fareed Zakaria is not allowed to go on PBS. And I keep sending, I keep getting interesting invitations to go on fun stuff. And I'll ping my boss and I'll say, can I go on this? And she'll be like, nope, nope, hell to the no. Anyways, the idea of going vertical across any platform and establishing proprietary content is something we're going to see a lot more of. And by the way, my brother at Twitter, you're going to work for someone else, meaning that I think Twitter is going to be acquired in the next 12 to 24 months because of a $24 billion market cap. I believe that what the Gulf War was to CNN, the invasion of Ukraine is going to be to Twitter. I speak to so many people in journalism. What's the first thing they check in the morning? Twitter. You're sitting on top of a shitty business model, but you have an incredible platform that has incredible influence. And somebody with inflated stock is going to come in and buy that influence and that attention and that incredible platform that you and your colleagues have developed. Anyways, thanks for the question. We have one quick break before our final two questions. Stay with us. Support for Prop G comes from Mint Mobile. If you're tired of your pricey phone bill, you could make room for it by cutting out frivolous expenses, your lattes, your gym membership, your favorite streaming service. But that sounds terrible. Another probably better option is switching to a more affordable provider, like Mint Mobile. With Mint Mobile, you can get 3 months of premium wireless service for just $15 a month. That includes high-speed 5G data plus unlimited talk and text. And Mint Mobile has great rates whether you're buying for one or for a family. And their family plan starts at just 2 lines. You also don't need to get a new device. When you buy a new Mint Mobile plan, you can use your own phone and keep your phone number and contacts. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/propg. That's mintmobile.com/propg. Cut your wireless bill up to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/propg. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Support for Prop G comes from NerdWallet. You don't have to be a genius to start making better financial decisions today. It's not that sexy, but piling up lots of little monetary victories today can yield some pretty significant rewards down the line. The tricky part is knowing where to start. NerdWallet can help. Their financial experts have helped countless people find ways to maximize every dollar they earn. Now, the team is helping folks get more from every dollar they spend. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering up to 10 times the points on every dollar you charge. Their expert team of nerds do the work reviewing top credit cards so you can trust you have the smartest one for future you. If I had better rewards right now, I'd probably upgrade my hotel at South by Southwest so I could have a big fat party and everyone would be impressed and love me. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Support for the show comes from Grammarly. Sloppy writing can be the death knell to any potential client, investor, or employer. Emails and messages already lack the tone and subtle social cues you need to understand what the person actually means. But when grammar and spelling mistakes enter the picture, it can make it impossible to decipher what anyone's trying to say. That's where Grammarly comes in. Grammarly is a trusted AI writing partner that saves your company from miscommunication and all the wasted time and money that goes with it. But it's more than just a grammar check. Grammarly can help generate AI prompts or even help you strike the right tone and personalize your writing based on audience and context. Here at the Prop G team, we use Grammarly, and all I have to say is it's made us more productive and made our work output just better, higher quality. Plus, Grammarly integrates seamlessly across 500,000 apps and websites. No cutting, no pasting, no context switching. Personalized on-brand writing help is built into your docs, messages, emails, everything. So why not join Grammarly to work faster, hit your goals while keeping your data secure? Learn more at Grammarly.com. Welcome back. question number three.
Hey, Scott. Yeltsin from Belgium here. What are your thoughts on Facebook trying to save face and using their $5 billion metaverse budget to potentially make a deal and buy Decentraland or Sandbox? Love the show.
Yeltsin from Belgium. That's an odd. Yep. I am Yeltsin from Belgium. You should definitely come to New York and roam around and just meet strange people. And be, I'm Yeltsin from Belgium. It just sounds cool and fun. You sound like you'd be a fun guy. I would grab a beer with you. Hey, it's Yeltsin from Belgium. I'm in town. Do you want to grab a beer? Yes, I do. Okay, so as of this past January, Decentraland had a monthly active user base of about 300,000 people and 18,000 daily users. The Sandbox has a monthly active user base of around 30,000. So I'm fascinated by virtual real estate. I'm not entirely sure. It might be because I don't understand the space enough to know what Facebook would get owning it as opposed to just partnering with them. And because Facebook has a huge platform and everyone's on it, they could begin selling their own real estate. I guess they would buy it just for the technology and expertise to actually create virtual real estate. But for me, virtual real estate is one of those investments that might be worth taking a flyer on. I'm talking a very small part of your portfolio, you know, 1 or 2% if you're younger. But young people don't have a problem paying for digital assets. My son will buy a laser cannon on a video game for 10 bucks. He will buy skins that signal some sort of skill in the game. So I don't see why they wouldn't be willing to buy something that signals their power or their wealth and hope that there's some speculative attributes because they trust that the underlying platform is going to limit. If Bitcoin can create scarcity credibility, I don't see why one of these virtual real estate companies can. And I think, again, Facebook would have kind of a leg up because as untrustworthy as Facebook is, if they said we're producing with the Decentraland or Sandbox, 1,000 beachfront property, virtual lots in this community that offers the following features, and they obviously have a lot of features they could offer with their incredible programming talent. To me, that seems interesting. I think they're more likely to build than to buy. But having said that, Facebook is shitty at building. They're really good at buying. Maybe you're right. I don't know. That's an interesting one. I find that virtual real estate is something that might surprise us all, that it might end up being one of the best performing asset classes of 2022. I'm fascinated by it. So anyways, interesting question. Honest answer is I don't know. But I like virtual real estate. I think it's an interesting idea. I think people my age don't believe that you could create scarcity value and asset value around a virtual good, not recognizing that it's already happening, especially across a younger generation. And also the brand of real estate is really powerful. People are under the impression that real estate is just a very good investment. So you take the speculative nature of crypto, you take kind of the fun, cool, sexy Pepsi generation feel of the metaverse. And then you take what feel like fairly pedestrian, but conventional truisms of real estate being a good investment. And I think virtual real estate could be a very interesting asset class. Whether it's Facebook buying them, I just don't know. Yeltsin from Belgium. Thanks for the question. Apologize for the long-winded answer. A little meandering there. A little all over the place for the dog. Where am I? Where am I? Papa? Papa? Next question.
Hi, Scott. My name is Chris from Portland, Oregon. I love your shows and all the incredible work you do, and I can't wait to see what you bring to CNN Blue. Currently, I work as a federal employee. I recently read a stat that said 40% of all federal employees are 55 years old or older, meaning in the next 10 years, we will see a massive wave in retirements in the federal sector. However, as you and many other people have mentioned, federal employment seems to have a toxic reputation in society. Here's my question. How can federal service rebuild its reputation or brand for the millennial and Gen Z crowd? Currently, I'm 34 years old, and the majority of my coworkers are decades older than me. While the federal service can't match the private sector on wages, it does provide incredible benefits and protections for employees. But it has become extremely difficult to fill a large portion of the positions in the federal service. How can the public sector improve its brand in society so it can draw the employees needed to fill positions? Thank you for everything that you do.
Well, first off, thank you for everything you do, Chris. I think our fine brothers and sisters who work for the government work for what is the most noble organization, the most productive organization, the organization that has created more good in the history of Western democracy, and that is the good people who work for the U.S. government, whether that's someone who's working at the DMV or figuring out a way to get a check to seniors, or someone who works, who's a social worker, or someone who's a mental health counselor for our veterans. I think that one of the most unfortunate things about the United States that started in the 80s was this screed, mostly on the right, that started with Ronald Reagan, trying to convince us that government was bad, that somehow these people were not pulling their weight, or that government was the enemy. And then some of the most famous people in the world that young people look up to, whether it's Peter Thiel or Elon Musk, have this freakishly weird, perverted vision of libertarianism that is, oh, I should never have to pay taxes and government just gets in the way of my awesomeness. No, it doesn't. Government puts people on the moon. Government solves pandemics. Government pushes back on tyranny. If we don't start investing more in government and holding ourselves to some sort of more basic notion that government, we get to decide what it looks like. So if we don't like it, it's our fault. But essentially, you've had huge layoffs at the state and local level. It's not seen as an aspirational job. You're correct. According to the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, more than 43% of federal employees are 50 years plus, while just 8% are in their 20s. So there's a few things, and some of them aren't that aspirational. I think we should have mandatory retirement. I don't think that someone should be 75 working in the federal government, just kind of cashing a check. And because the federal government has become so fucking woke that you just can't fire anybody, I think we need to hold federal employees more accountable in terms of performance, just as we do in the private sector. And I think a lot of people in the federal government would like that, because the flip side of that is if you're really good, you can accelerate faster. And I think we need to create more opportunities for young people to go into government. I also think we need to stop the screed and kind of level up the aspirational quality of the federal government and of the incredible opportunities. I proposed at the very beginning of the novel coronavirus something called the Corona Corps, where people who weren't ready for college or wanted a gap year or gap years would spend 1 to 3 years in a corps of volunteers going around helping people get their vaccinations, helping people figure out a way to stay safe if they are immunocompromised, mental health counseling, handling logistics. But I think the idea of millions of young people, similar to a Peace Corps, but domestically, by the way, there are some organizations that do this. I think AmeriCorps does this, Teach for America. But I think we need more. And one of the reasons is one of the most dangerous things in our society is the polarization, that people see each other as red or blue before they see each other as red, white, and blue. And the great legislation of the 60s and the 70s, the civil rights legislation, voting rights acts, we got along, we got shit done, was because people saw each other as Americans first, or our leaders saw each other as Americans first. And that's no longer the case. Get this, about a third of Republicans and about a third of Democrats see the people in the other party is their mortal enemy. That's just ridiculous. That's hopefully some of that will go away with the tyrant, the new tyrant, trying to soldier into Ukraine. I do think for the first time we're coming together. But I think government is our opportunity. It is our connective tissue. And I think the United States citizens have to stop this bullshit disparagement and screed of U.S. government. It is us. It's the most noble organization in the world. And we need to figure out a way to compensate our young employees in the federal government, give them opportunities, and not only that, give them something, a brand that they can be proud of, such that the U.S. government and federal employees can command the space they occupy. And that is, they do tremendous good for us every day. I'm a huge fan of anything investing around federal employees. Thanks for your good work, Chris. That's all for this episode. Again, if you'd like to submit a question, please submit a voice recording by visiting officehours.profgmedia.com. Our producers are Caroline Chagrin and Drew Burrows. Claire Miller is our associate producer. If you like what you heard, please follow, download, and subscribe. Thank you for listening to the Prop G Pod from the Vox Media Podcast Network. We will catch you on Thursday.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.